And before we start a new series, God willing, next Sunday, I'd like to share with you some thoughts we've taught during our Bible studies on Wednesday regarding the book of Joshua. So we are trying to cover here two chapters, chapter 5 and 6, but we don't have the time to read it all, but you can open up to Joshua chapter 5 and 6. The title of the sermon today is Mission Impossible, because Joshua is about to embark in a mission that, humanly speaking, is impossible. And I want to think that in our lives we come to our Jerichos and we look at its walls and we say, how am I going to go over this? And I'm sure that through the year of 2011, you're going to face some Jericho in your way. And the same way that Joshua was able to overcome it, it's the same way that we will be able to overcome it. Maybe your Jericho is an addiction, is a sin. Maybe your Jericho is a situation that you can't just wrap around. Maybe it's something in your past that you can't just get over it. And you keep going around and around and around and still in the same place. Years have passed. Nothing has changed. It has beaten you year after year. The archaeologist tells us that the city was a fortress, had a first wall with rocks and stones as wide as 6 feet, the first wall, was on the top of a hill, impossible to climb for the enemies. And after climbing, there was another huge wall. It was a fortress city, impossible to be conquered, because even if Joshua led a siege of years to Jericho, there was enough water in the city. There was a fountain, a spring, right in the midst of Jericho, there until this day. And as you remember, starting chapter 3, when the Jews passed over the Jordan, was when the Jordan was overflowing, because it was the rain season, the season of the harvest that it just ended. And in the city of Jericho, there was plenty of water, there was a natural spring, and there was tons of cereals. The historians tell us they could hold on for years. Jericho was mission impossible for Joshua and the Israelites. It's very interesting, in the 90s, an archaeologist digging the ruins of Jericho found this jars, storage jars, huge, still filled with cereal. They had plenty of water. They had plenty of food. Was mission impossible for Joshua? How are we going to overcome the challenges and the Jerichos that we'll face this year? First thing we notice is the plan. After we saw the big problem, we noticed the plan of God to conquer the city. And you take notes on your outline and you take it home and you pray about it and you apply what you learn from the Word to your life. James says, don't just be listeners of the Word, but be doers of the Word. That's how you will experience the victory and the blessing like Joshua did. First of all, the plan started with obeying God's word. You might have thought that they should have contracted an engineer to study the walls. You thought they might have looked for a former general that knew everything about the law. But you see, what you're going to be facing this year, the wisdom of men cannot scratch. It's useless. You need the wisdom of God. Jabal and your Jerichos are spiritual first of all. And you can't fight them with the strategies and the plans of the world. We don't have time to see everything. But we remember that a generation had perished in the wilderness. Well, God has made them the same promise that He promised the new generation. The promised land is ahead. Why didn't they enter? Why didn't they conquer? Very easy. Do you remember disobedience? Do you remember that when Moses says, go, they said, no, we'll go back. And they spent 38 years wasting away their shoes and their lives in circles until all of them died because of disobedience. Remember when the Lord talks to the church in Ephesus that was steering away from His will? The Lord gave three commands in His advice. Remember, repent, and redo the former works. The same advice for you and me today. In the beginning of this year, you want to come back to obey your Lord. And He tells you, first, repent. Remember where you went away. Repent. And then, you'll be able to do the former work. Through those 38 years, 40 years almost walking in the desert, the second generation had not obeyed the word of God. Turn with me to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 5. Not one was circumcised of the new generation. This is a generation of disobedient parents. Nobody had the mark of the covenant. What was the purpose of the circumcision? As no power, as Paul says, to remove sin. But there was a reminder to them that they were a special people and should live lives that honor their God. Not one had been circumcised. So, before we go about to conquer anything, what does Joshua tell people? Everybody is going to be circumcised. Victory starts when you obey the word of God that He already has revealed. There's people that are always looking for new revelations. That's not the secret of the Christian life. The secret of the Christian life is you to start obeying what you already know is the truth. So, the secret of victory starts when they decide to obey to whatever God already has revealed. Circumcision. Next thing. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're not here because we are worthy of anything. We are here to affirm and state, You, Lord, are worthy to receive my life, my love, my praise, my worship for what You did for me. If the Passover was a reminder of what Almighty God did for the slaves, setting them free to make them a special people, the circumcision was a reminder that they were not to live as the other nations, but to live for the glory of God. Read with me chapter 5, verse 9.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day.
See, they were delivered from Egypt, but now they are delivered from the power of Egypt in their lives. All the other generation through the wilderness was always craving the good food they had. They soon forgot how they were enslaved and suffered. The Bible says in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. But God says, the people I'm going to put in my land, they are delivered from the power of Egypt. These are the people of God. In Romans 6, as my wife just read, are we going to continue to live and obey sin? God forbid, nonsense! We are delivered by His grace from the power of sin to live a different lifestyle. Secondly, follow the captain. And if you go to chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, you find out that Joshua was going around the wall scratching his head. He did not know what to do to overcome until he met the captain of the Lord's army. Joshua was not the captain. The Lord was the captain. And until you recognize that in your life, you're not the captain of your life, you're going to sink your own ship. You're going to continue to go around and around in circles in your life until you yield the control of your life to the Lord. You're going nowhere. Peter reminds us, He is the shepherd. We just under shepherds. Is Christ the captain of your soul? Is He leading you? Or are you trying to lead Him? The plan didn't make much sense, but Joshua didn't have any plans that would make any sense. And he had learned in his past to obey the Lord. The Lord will always make sense in the end. And Joshua, wondering how to do this, he finds the person that he will do it for him. And the Bible says, and he fell at his feet, and now he's talking to him. You see, what you need to do this year, spend more time at the feet of Jesus and pray. You have no solutions. Go to Him in prayer. He has the solutions. The plan to conquer Jericho did not come up from Joshua's head. It came from the captain's head. Joshua says a beautiful thing. End of verse 14. What has my Lord to say to His servant? As Samuel said, speak Lord, your servant is listening. When we pray, we have to pray like Joshua. What do you have to tell me about your plans? Prayer is not about my plans. Prayer is not about my kingdom, my will. Prayer is about His kingdom, His will, His name. What do you have to tell your servant? Joshua said, you need to go to his feet and talk to your captain, to your master. And again, as Moses of old, Joshua was told, remove your sandals, this place is holy. But my friends, this place is not holy even if it was covered with gold. It's only if the Lord is there. Otherwise, it's just a building like any other building. I like the question that Joshua poses the Lord. Are you for me or are you against me? Many people would think, well, the Lord would say, I am for you. I'm on your side. But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, neither. Why? You need to learn this lesson. God will be for you when you follow Him. God will be for you when you obey Him. You disobey Him, He will not be for you. So, the person who should be asking the question should be the Lord asking the question to Joshua. Are you following me or what? I can't stand election time in America because all of a sudden they make God to be Democrat, others make God to be Republican, others make God to be of whatever party. And you know what? God has a kingdom. And He's not looking for anybody's votes. And He rules. But He asks you and me, are you on my side? And if you're not in my side, there's no blessing on your life. But let's move on. Trust His promises. God had promised victory if they obeyed. They obey, they got victory. Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith. Faith is the hand that takes the promises of God to the heart. By faith came down the walls of Jericho. And in a Christian life, it's not about can God do it, it's do I trust His promises? For the previous generation was mission impossible. For Joshua and this generation became mission possible. Finally, you see that they gave Him praise. They didn't have to touch, not even with a finger, any of the walls of Jericho. They all came down. They had to obey. And Joshua didn't reveal to them what God wanted, only told them day by day what to do. The people in the city thought they were fools. They themselves didn't understand anything. But at the end, God proved to be right. They didn't have to touch one wall. The walls came down. And I love what historians and archaeologists have proved, that the walls broke not from outside in as somebody pushes. They broke from inside out and they came tumbling down to the next set of walls. They imploded. What would you rather do? You knocking your head against your Jericho, not able to do anything, or coming to the Lord, obey Him, and see Him doing the impossible. And this year, when you face your Jericho, remember there's no impossible missions for God. For you, yes, but not for Almighty God, who loves you. And you praise Him. Well, the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. How many Christians serve the Lord just complaining about everything? But the Bible says when you serve the Lord with gladness in your heart. That's a command. It's not a choice. You serve the Lord with gladness. What is the purpose? Something even more impossible happened in this city. A prostitute and her family were saved. The city, the Bible says, was accursed and condemned, and the Jews burned it to the ground. There's a place in the ruins of Jericho that there are a foot thick of timber burned. But out of the burning fire and out of the judgment of God, God stretched His hand and saved that family who believed and a God of Joshua. And my friends, it's impossible to save anybody. But God is going to bring people into your path this year for you to share them the good news. But it's Him and His power that can break through those walls in the minds of people and bring them down so the light of Christ can get in and they will be delivered from the burning judgment to come. If bringing down those walls was impossible, more impossible was to save the lost in their city. And God saved that lady and her family. God is in the business of doing the impossible. You're not saving anybody. He is. Amen. What about you today? Have you come to Christ? Have you committed your life to Him? Why don't we stand and pray? I'm going to ask our sister Madalena to sing a last song. And as we pray, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, come forwards. Commit your life to the Lord. Start this year with the right foot. Come. Come as you are. And as the Lord has invited you to salvation from the burning fire, come. And if you're a Christian, and you've been walking in disobedience like the people of old, the people of God, start today. Make the vow. Give the step forwards and say, Lord, from this day on, I will repent and I will start obeying. And you'll see your Jericho coming down like dust, because He is the same today, yesterday, and forever.